Partners of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. This is the show where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Open phones here at 888-825-5225. Ken Coleman, number one best-selling author, host of The Ken Coleman Show, where he helps people with their careers and does so in about 75 cities across America, plus Sirius XM, plus a podcast, plus number one best-selling books. And we're here to talk to you about all of that. Again, the phone number, 888-825-5225. Matthew is in West Virginia. What's up, Matthew?
Hi, Mr. Ramsey, Mr. Coleman. How are you guys doing?
Better than I deserve. How can we help?
Just really quick, I just wanted to take a second to thank you both for all you've done for us listeners. I was very blessed to discover you guys as an 18-year-old, and your teachings have helped me get through school completely debt-free. And now I'm starting to begin to give generously, so I just wanted to thank you both.
Well, way to go, dude. How can we help?
My question today is, regarding whether or not I should, take my giving into a more formalized fashion, as in a foundation, or to stay anonymous as it is now.
Okay. How much are we talking about giving away a year?
So I just got out of school, and previously I'd just been doing, between $1,000 to $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going up to six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of research on it, and a lot of people say it doesn't make sense unless you have, like, buku bucks to give away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more or less looking at it as, standardizing the process and sort of partnering with organizations and legitimizing the giving just heading into the future.
Well, you're very wise to think about it at this stage of the game. It is not worth the expense to file the annual tax returns and go to the legal expense to form the foundation, because you're probably going to have $10,000 or $20,000 invested in all of that. So you don't want to spend all your money on lawyers that you would have been given to somebody. So, yeah, until you're giving away several $100,000 a year minimum, it starts to not be that's non-designated. It starts to be a problem. It starts to not work. So you can formalize the process with a simple checkbook and just decide, okay, I'm going to give this much. You could even move it into an account that is just your personal account, and that account is used only for giving. And that way you would keep up with it. You'd be able to track what you did very carefully, very easily, easier than if it was mixed in with your normal personal bills, right? You don't have the advantage of anonymity unless you're doing it with cash. And when you go to cash, you also don't have any tax write-off, which is not that big a deal, but you don't have any tax write-off. At this stage of the game, I think you've gotten some pretty good advice. You can formalize the process without doing a family foundation. And we were giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And even with a pretty decent process at that point, that's when we realized we needed to form our first foundation. And we did that about 15 years ago. And then we've amped up our giving from there. But that way it just keeps us very true to our principles, which is what you're wanting to put in place. So you're good question, though. But no, I don't think you need a foundation today.
Yeah, I think he might. The way he's going about
it won't be long.
Young man who's debt free and just getting started professionally, you see him doing some wonderful things.
At 22, I was thinking about giving to me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Giving me a better car.
That's true.
Giving me a place to live.
Yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal.
Yeah, he's way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Gabriel is in Santa Barbara. Gabriel, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. It's an honor for being able to talk to you guys here. I'm trying my best not to be nervous for you.
No big deal. We've never lost a patient. What's up?
So roughly 4 years ago, I purchased a truck, and I knew I couldn't afford it. That's the way I was actually introduced into you, because I was very panicky. And I was, you guys were the best model to find out on how to manage my finances. I got that truck for $38,000 4 years ago. Now, 4 years later, I owe $12,000 left, but the truck is now valued at around almost $40,000. So it's literally almost more than what I got it for 4 years ago. My question is, should I just pay off the $12,000 and keep the truck, or should I just sell it and take the $25,000 to $27,000 in positive equity to myself?
What do you make?
So I almost already know the answer to your question, but so I just left my job about 2 months ago due to COVID situations, and I started my window cleaning business.
Stop. Why did you leave a job due to COVID 2 months ago?
Well, it wasn't due to COVID, but we lost a lot of our staff, and I kind of fell into it. I'm 21.
The company failed?
Right. It was a very, very tough situation.
You didn't quit because of COVID?
No.
That they lost their revenue because of the COVID, because of the pandemic, and it caused them to have to do layoffs.
Correct.
Okay. So what do you think you're going to be making when you get the next job?
So like I said, right now I'm doing automotive window tinting on my own.
Dude,
with my own
what
business.
Were you making before?
I was making roughly around $35,000.
Okay. And do you have a degree in school, did you say?
No.
Okay. And so what do you think you'll be doing in the coming 2 years? I mean, just give me a stab in the dark. What's your plan?
I should definitely be able to make anywhere between 50 and 60.
Okay. All right. So a good rule of thumb is to not have things with motors and wheels totaled up that equals more than half your annual income, because other than this anomaly of the last 18 months, they all go down in value. Now, granted, yours went up in value, so have mine, but that's correcting itself very quickly. 6 months from now, the truck will be gone back down, or heading back down. As the supply starts hitting the car lots again, we'll see supply demand and the supply chain issues driving prices into an artificial world go away. So I think we can all agree long-term trucks don't go up in value. They go down in value. And so you don't want a $40,000 asset going the wrong way when you make 40. But if you're going to be making 80, then you're right on that bubble. And it sounds like you're heading that way. If you want to keep it a little while and see if you get your income up. But, dude, if you're in a steady rhythm of making $50,000, you don't need a $40,000 truck.
Correct.
I'd sell it.
The only thing.
Gabriel, I'd sell it. I like to fast forward goals in life. I'd sell it. You're going to make 26 on it. Buy yourself a nice truck.
For 20 grand.
For 20 and put the six towards your financial goals. Fast forward everything with one purchase price. That's what I'd do. I'd sell it now.
Yeah. It is just a stupid truck. At the end of the day, I mean, we fall in love with these things. Like, we have to keep them forever. It's not a wife. It's a truck. You know, so you don't have to keep it. It's not required. It's not until death do us part. This is The Ramsey Show.
One wealth building tool is your income. For business owners, this comes as no surprise, as you're used to putting in extra hours and watching your bottom line. That's why Christian Healthcare Ministries, or CHM, is a great option for those who are faith-focused and budget-conscious. CHM is not health insurance. Rather, it's a health cost-sharing program. To learn if CHM is a fit for you or your business, visit chministries.org/budget.
Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Ramsey-trusted provider.
Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today, number one best-selling author. Imagine what it'd be like to be in an arena filled with people that are all fired up about winning. They're fired up about being better at their marriage, at their parenting, at their leadership, at their mental wellness, at their career, at their money. They want to be Baby Steps millionaires. All the Ramsey Personalities will be there. It's called Smart Conference. We're going to be doing this with about 8,000 folks in Dallas on Saturday, October the 22nd. This is not just another pep talk. This is helping you be smarter. And when you're in a room full of people like that, a connection happens, and there is a spirit to the whole process, and you leave there believing and knowing that you can win and how to do it. It's only a $39 ticket. It should be $390 with a lineup like this. All the Ramsey personalities, plus Craig and Amy Groeschel from Life Church, are going to be there. We're looking forward to it. Get your passes now before it sells out. Several of our Building Wealth events in the fall are almost gone. They're in the 90 percentile on the sellout. One of them's within just a handful of tickets. So you need to get your tickets for these events. As you know, events are very popular these days. After the pandemic, people no longer take for granted our right and ability to gather. And so these things are selling out like crazy. Yeah, so $39 tickets. Get them at RamseySolutions.com/events. RamseySolutions.com/events. Feels like an eternity ago we were allowed to gather.
I can't believe how long it's been since we've done a Smart Conference, and it's really a special event. And you're right, you know, some of us need catalytic moments, something that just ignites something. And an event like this, so many people in the room all gathering for one reason, to go from where they are to where they want to be. And it really is infectious. If you've never been, give it a shot. It's extraordinary. Just as somebody who gets to participate as a speaker,
yeah,
but to feel the energy in the room as I sit and listen to all the other folks talk, it's special.
Well, and it's like one of my pastor buddies gave me a hard time one day, and he said, you know, Ramsey, you say the same thing over and over again. And I said, so do you.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, hello, Pop.
But that doesn't mean we don't need to go to church.
That's correct.
You know, so there's an advantage to you in your spiritual, emotional, mental well-being, relational well-being to go to church, yeah, physically.
No
go
question.
Sit your tail end in there and have the experience of the discomfort of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because nothing's meaner than a Christian in a parking lot.
Mm.
Well, and
that's the
truth. You know, and you know, all this whole process just to have a set aside moment.
Yeah.
A set aside, and that's what happens at these events.
Yeah.
It's not church, but it is.
Well, not to mention, we have a world-class band, one of the great cover bands in all of America that comes in. And so the music,
yeah, really good.
I mean, there's not a low moment. In between all the speakers, we have world-class music. We have fun surprises, experiences that are just that weave in the entire day. There's a
Smart
thread.
Conference is immersive.
It really
doubt.
Is, yeah, yeah.
For sure. Philip is with us. Philip is in Chattanooga. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, man. What's up?
I just graduated college this past semester, debt-free.
All right.
And I also got married 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations. You've been busy.
Well, thank you. And with this marriage, I now have $10,000 in student debt.
Mm-hmm.
that she brought in. And
well, you got
right
off
now,
light.
I'm just wondering. Yeah, I'm just wondering if I need to write a check and pay it off.
Yes.
Or if I need to wait.
Why would you wait?
Well, I've got about $13,200 in my retirement. And
no, I don't want to take it out of retirement. You got money in your checking?
Yeah, I've got about $16,000. So it'd leave me with about $6,000 left.
Pay it off today.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
We're done. Now let's move up through the baby steps, we call them. Does that make you guys 100% debt-free?
Yes, we both have paid for vehicles and we're renting at the moment.
You guys are way ahead of the curve. See, now you're debt free with $6,000. Mm-hmm. Your next goal is to have baby step 3, which is 3 to 6 months of household income as your expenses, of your expenses as a rainy day fund. Okay. And
okay.
So what's your household income?
Right at $75,000 before taxes.
Okay. Well, let's call your emergency fund 15 to 20.
Okay.
And that's money to sit on. You don't ever touch that. That's not a I want a couch money. That's not a I think I need a bass boat money. This is money for emergencies only.
All right. Okay.
So we're going to raise your first goal then after you write the check today is sit down with your spouse, develop a budget. The two of you are going to lay out your goals together. We're going to build an emergency fund of 15 or 20, whatever you decide the number is quickly. Let's use the money. Everything we can squeeze out of the budget goes on that. Once that's done, then we start investing 15% of our income or you push pause between baby step 3 and 4 and you start saving for a down payment on a house if you have a house in your future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you guys are right on track. I'm going to send you a copy of the Total Money Makeover book that will show you how to do all that as a wedding gift and get you guys plugged in. That's a great start he's got.
Phenomenal. I mean, play that out, Dave. I think when people hear that, maybe we have some new folks listening or watching today. This couple is so far ahead of the game with that kind of income, call it $75,000 gross, no debt. they're going to be millionaires in what? How long if they follow our baby steps, start putting 15% to retirement after they fully fund that emergency
fund? With normal
fund?
Growth in their career through their 20s, probably 12 years.
That's crazy. So you're talking about 34, 35, 36 years of age.
Yeah, they'll be early millionaires. Yeah, baby step. If they follow the baby steps.
And that's extraordinary. Yeah. When you told him you're ahead of the curve, I wanted our audience who may be new to this conversation to go, that's
well,
where they stand.
Let's think. Let's face it. What normal is, you call me, you're 22 years old, you just got married, you got $160,000.
Correct.
Student loan debt and two stupid $20,000 cars that you shouldn't have bought, but you thought you had to celebrate graduating from college with stupidity. Mm-hmm. So, and what else would be involved there? There's probably some other little debt of some, some credit card debt hanging around.
Credit card, yeah.
Yeah, there's probably some of that. And so that would be like the normal person calling me. So this guy is, he's on the
way
other, he's on the other end of the bell curve.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's extraordinary. Chris is in Kansas City. What's up, Chris?
Hey, David and Ken. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I was a little normal. Now I'm hoping to be on my way to weird. So I would like some guidance there. I've currently been saving.
Ken and
for...
I are experts in weird.
Yeah, well, that's a fact.
Good. I need some expert guidance. my wife and I have been saving up for kind of an upgrade in the house. And after this month, I believe I'll have the fully funded emergency fund and 20% to put down on the house as long as stuff doesn't kick up in price again.
You own a house now?
We are in a house now, yes. We do owe some on this now. We're looking to, we're in a starter house now. We've outgrown it. We're hoping to have
the 20% is in cash or the 20% includes the equity in your current home?
It's in cash.
Okay. Well, then you also got equity in your current home, right?
Yeah, and that's where I'm not quite sure where it would be at. I mean, it's a starter house, needs some work, and so I'm not sure what the sale would kick up there. But I'm kind of curious if, with what I've saved, if I should pay off the house that I'm currently in, maybe use it as like a rental?
No.
Or if I should just kind of stay where I'm at as far
no.
as...
No, you don't have the okay. money. You don't have the money to do that.
Okay.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from on that, so you'll know why I answered that so fast. All right? I don't believe, and I didn't, and I don't teach people to buy rental property with debt. If you have a paid-for starter house and then you go into debt on your main new residence, that means that you have essentially borrowed on your new residence to buy a rental. Essentially. Okay. It's the same thing, right? And since you can't do this move debt-free, then it's not time to start rentals yet. You need to sell it.
Little bit of an X factor here. If I have more saved than what my house is that I'm currently in is owed on the note, does that kind of change the?
You're
the,
still going to go into debt equation? On the next house.
Okay.
Because you kept correct. The first one.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're saying pay. Okay,
you can't. You can't pay if you could pay cash for the new one, and have the old one also in cash. I'd be okay. But I'm not going to have you buy rental properties by borrowing on your home, which is essentially what you're doing because you're throwing all your money over there in the rental instead of putting it on the other one and you're going into debt. So it's the same thing as going to get a home equity loan to buy a dadgum rental. And no, I'm not going to tell you to do that. I believe in rental property. I love real estate, but not borrowed, not leveraged real estate, not mortgaged real estate. I'm always going to teach you to be 100% debt-free. It is the shortest distance between where you are in wealth and financial peace, two words that don't go together, like airline service. This is The Ramsey Show. I just saw a study that really made me sad. It showed that families owning life insurance in the U.S. was at its lowest point since the 1970s. After what we've been through the past few years, I'm just lost on how people don't make this more of a priority. How are you going to make sure your family needs are met if something happens to you? This is why getting term life is an absolute necessity. Rates have never been cheaper, and the whole process to apply is pretty simple, with many companies not even requiring an exam anymore. This is why I send you to Zander Insurance, and I have for almost 25 years. They'll make sure you get the right protection at the lowest cost possible, and they're there for you and your family every day. I challenge all of you to make sure your families are protected. It needs to be a top priority. Call Zander at 800-356-4282 or visit Zander.com. That's 800-356-4282 or Zander.com. Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Sean and Tammy are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing, Dave?
Better than we deserve. Good to have you guys. Where do y'all live?
We live in the Houston, Texas area.
Oh, wonderful. So good to have you. How much debt have you paid off?
We paid off about $100,000.
Wow. How long did this take?
It took us about 8 years.
Okay. And your range of income during that time?
Ranged about $70,000 to about $130,000 for both of us.
Okay, cool. And what kind of debt was the $100,000?
It was mostly student loan debt.
Old Sally Mae. Took a while to get her out of the house, huh?
She
so tell us the story. What happened here?
There you go, sir.
So we got a copy of your show?
Yeah, yeah. So we... We moved to Houston and bought a big house. A big house, you know, it was about 4,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started a new job there. And a buddy of mine at work, he went around and he was passing around. And said, hey, you guys, I got this. Audio thing. And he started. We downloaded on our computers. I listened to it, and it was a Financial Peace University. It was apparently a pirated copy of it. So
okay, that'll work.
But
and we started listening, and we were like, wow, we're doing that wrong. And we're doing that wrong. And there's a way better way to do that.
Yeah, it was like one thing right after the other. I was like, oh, man, this makes so much sense. Why are we doing, why are we so stupid?
So we made a huge chart on the back of our bedroom door that had all 100 little steps that we needed to get to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got fired up and we started paying it off and paying it off and paying it off. And we did great at the beginning. And then I started having these weird spells where I would forget things. So we went to the doctor and found out that I had epilepsy.
Ooh.
And tried a couple of medications, and then they didn't help. So then we went and got an MRI and found out that I had a brain tumor.
Oh, there's that.
Wow.
So then we were like, okay, you stop the debt snowball. You just start stockpiling money.
Right.
And you get ready. And so I had the brain tumor taken out. And then we find out that if you do it on purpose and you save up your money, it takes a good 2-3 months to get the bill. And this time, we just paid off the bill with cash instead of adding to the debt like we had our whole lives.
Oh, wow.
One of the debts that we had was the birth of our daughter, Haley, this mm-hmm. cute little blonde over here.
Mm-hmm.
But with her, we knew we were pregnant. It took 9 months to bake her up in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9 months later, we still hadn't paid it off.
Mm.
And that's how we were living before.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get a brain tumor out of the blue. And by the time the bill comes, we just pay it off.
Wow.
That's a nice thing to have while you're facing something that severe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wow. And it doesn't stop there. You know, afterward, because of the brain tumor, we found out there was other complications that happened. You know, she had lost, you know, when they took it out, she lost sensation in half of her face. So mm-hmm. she couldn't feel what was in her eyes. So
mm-hmm.
she had an eye surgery where they grafted a nerve into her face from her
Whoa.
Leg. And then she couldn't hear. So, or actually, she could hear too well, I guess is the thing. So ear surgeries later, she now has much better hearing.
But this was like a year later and then a year later so that we could pay our out-of-pocket max every year.
But that kept kicking Sally Mae down the road a little bit because you're dealing with health stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always say that we're the little engines that could.
Yeah.
Like we were on the debt snowball plan.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do it, but all these things kept coming up.
Much more important to take care of you than Sally.
Yeah. And then we crashed our car.
Yeah. I got in a head-on collision and total our van.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Well, and that was our first car that we bought with cash because we had to upgrade from the little tiny sedan that we had because we had six kids now, so we bought a minivan, a used minivan,
uh-huh.
had totaled that, and then I was informed about a month later that I was put on notice for a layoff.
Of course.
Yeah, so it all happens all at once. But
Edgum country song, man. Unbelievable.
And so, you know, people tell you like, yeah, I started Dave Ramsey and it's a good idea and stuff, but then stuff happens in life and you can't just follow it. And we were like, baloney. We don't do debt. Even if we have six bodies and a car that only fits five, we're going to make do, and and we're going to buy a car with cash because we don't do debt anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we bought a brand, well, not a brand new car. It was new to us. It was a used car.
Mm-hmm.
Had 40,000 miles on it. We were, the Lord blessed us with the cash that we needed in order to get it paid for without going into debt at all. So many naysayers kept saying, "Hey, you guys, just get a loan. Come on, you can do it. I mean, it's just a car."
Mm-hmm.
We decided not to. And then that the medical journey just kept going on. So I guess what was it? Total, how many surgeries?
So then they said for epileptics, there's this thing you can install in your brain and it will help turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I had brain surgery again. And then it didn't work. So then the next year, they said, we can just go in and take that chunk of your brain out. And we said, okay. And by this point, he was like, okay, we're putting our out-of-pocket max in our budget.
Because
we keep doing it year after year. And then it didn't work.
Yeah.
Because I'm just that patient.
Yeah.
But luckily, he said, we can put the thing back in your brain. But I can't imagine how it would have been if this doctor was like, there's something else we can try to help you because you're a difficult patient.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't paid your bill from last year. Because that's the way we were living before we did the Ramsey plan. But this way, we paid it with cash. So when they had something else that we could try to help us.
Five surgeries now or six?
How many was it? Seven, I think, total?
Seven.
Total is nine.
The total is nine. Four of them were
brain
surgeries.
When was the last one?
Yeah.
How long ago was the last one?
October.
This long ago? I was bald in October.
Okay. All right. So how are you doing overall now?
I still have about two seizures a week.
Bless you.
But the thing is, what would it have been like if every time I needed a surgery or every time I needed to change medications, we had to panic about money?
Yeah.
Like, now it's not a problem.
And while you're doing all nine surgeries, you go ahead and pay off Sallie Mae. And have some kids and live life and fix a head on and get laid off. And oh my gosh.
We're the little engines that could.
And the thing.
I think more than that, I think you just didn't quit.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable heart. And I just, this isn't a question, just a comment. I hope the audience is paying attention to this. You had financial peace in the midst of still paying off the debt. The fact that you guys press pause, but the ability to do that, Dave. I mean, they hadn't even paid off all the debt yet and still cash flowed stuff.
Yeah. Very amazing.
Huge.
You guys are something else. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
To not pay for Christmas with your December paychecks.
It's very prescriptive.
I'm also going to tell you, never quit.
That's right.
In her case.
Yeah.
It's like a Winston Churchill speech. Never quit. Never quit.
Once we got the budget, it was just nice to be able to say, this is how much we need for new school clothes, and this is how much we need for Christmas, and this is how much we need for out-of-pocket max in case Tammy needs to have brain surgery. And I'm the free spirit. And now the thought of not having a budget is scary to me because I'm like, but.
And a monthly budget meeting.
Yeah, really. So let me ask you this. I don't know anything about the medical part of this. Does stress add to the likelihood of you having an episode? Yes. He's shaking his head yes.
She says no, but I say yes because I see it.
Okay. All right. So the fact that you don't have financial stress in the house is probably helping.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's allowed us to focus on the things important. These four right here, our relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. Her health.
Yeah. Her health.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah. Instead of focusing on money, on this material stuff that consumes so many people's lives.
Stupid car payment on a stupid car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. You guys are fun. Amazing. You're inspiring. Wow. All right, let's bring the kiddos up. What are their names and ages?
This is Jacob, Sierra, Haley, and Kai, and they are 13, 11, 9, and 7.
All right, very good. We've got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story, and you guys have quite a story, but the little train that didn't quit, for sure, without a doubt. Also got a copy of a non-pirated Financial Peace University version, and we'll let you watch it legally this time. Yeah. And available with Ramsey Plus. It's online now, and we'll give you a one-year subscription so you guys can go through it. Brand new videos on this, and they're the best we've ever done. The class is the best it's ever been in all these years. And also a copy of Total Money Makeover. So, all right, gang, count it down. 100,000 paid off in 8 years while they take quite a journey from 70 to 130. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Okay, you guys ready? 3, 2, 1. I am debt-free!
I am debt-free!
I am debt-free!
Love it! Whoop, 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 whoop. That's how it's done! Wow. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Matt's in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Ken. How you doing?
Better than we deserve, sir. How can we help?
Yeah, so my wife and I were 23 years old. We got married when we were 21, and I'm a youth pastor, and she works a customer service job so that she can stay at home and take care of our baby. We're on baby steps 4, 5, and 6, and we've never had any debt except for our mortgage.
Way to go.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We both have always enjoyed listening to you and following your program, but we recently took FPU, and we left it feeling super inspired to, like, pay off our debt for our house. So we currently have $48,000 left on it, and it's a fixed 15-year mortgage, but I don't want to just wait 15 years for it. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I hear you talk about the importance of having a big shovel to pay off debt. And as someone who's getting started in his career and is in ministry, I don't have a huge shovel. My question is how can I wisely increase my income while balancing the responsibility and calling of being a pastor to pay off our house?
Good for you.
Yeah, I love the question, Matt. My dad was a pastor, and many times in our childhood or adolescence, he would have to, because he pastored a small church, so had a very small income and not a lot of opportunity, he would have to add things. And so, you know, Dad was very good with construction work and things of that nature. So my thought would be, where do you have some talent and skill that you can immediately put to work so you've got something premium to offer based on the time you can give? So how many hours a week could you give?
Well, I could do evenings and then Fridays and Saturdays, but maybe realistically, maybe like 20 hours, something
right.
like that.
So you start there. I've got 20 hours max. And so what can I do? What can I do that will allow me to make some money quickly? Because we're talking about hourly work right now. You can make $20 an hour if you're stocking shelves, you know, at Walmart or Target. But what's a skill that you have right now that you know you can get paid for?
Well, I really like to work with people, like talk with them. I'm pretty relational. I can't say I'm super handy, but I'm learning. You know, I'm 23. I kind of view myself more as scrappy than anything. I'll do whatever I can to.
So,
to really
what your degree? I mean, you went to seminary. Did you have another degree other than seminary?
No, it's a youth pastoral degree with pastoral leadership.
Perfect. Good. Good. Okay. Yeah, so it's just a matter of poking around and figuring out what you could do that you can make the most per hour on the short term.
Yeah.
And I honestly, my general rule is I'm kind of entrepreneurial, so I always move towards some kind of self-employed anything. And it could be something as silly as walking dogs or pet sitting and, you know, making $30 an hour doing that. And, we've had people do their debt-free screams on here that have done that. The great news is you're way ahead. You're thinking about this. B, you only owe $48,000. I mean, you could pay off this house in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Of extra income.
That's the goal. That's what I want.
Yeah. But I mean, extra income. It's just a matter of how much you guys want to get jacked up about this. Then the other question is, you know, what Ken's saying is true. The data that we have working with churches all across America, we've worked with about 75,000 churches now over the past 30 years. And the data that we have is somewhere around 80 to 85% of pastors are bivocational. Most churches are not of size that they can even support the senior pastor full time. In general, the movement, the way the church movement's been in America. And traditionally, the worship pastor and youth pastor starve to death, you know, until you get into a mega church or something, right? And so, you're in your calling, it's going to be a few years before your calling pays you a substantial amount of money. Now, as your calling does develop, though, particularly your oratory skills, if you become a great preacher, you may get some side gigs speaking at youth conferences and other things, you know, filling in for a pastor here or there, pulpit ministry, that kind of thing, and even later on, maybe some writing. So a lot of pastors supplement their incomes within the calling, and then some just simply, you know, they have a bread route, a donut route, and they deliver off a truck, you know, and or they work UPS or whatever it is you do. But, you know, the good news is you're willing to work, and like you said, scrappy. And honestly, I'll take scrappy over 6 degrees any day. Six scrappy will get her done.
And there's so much opportunity right now, Dave, for somebody who's scrappy. So, you know, Matt, look, I'd look at people-based work. You got those 20-hour block. You got that time of day that you're looking at. So this is just the hunt, as Dave said. But you got limited hours, and you have a limited time during the week. So what are we looking at? People-based work sure would be great. Sales, customer service work. But if it's just good old-fashioned delivery or waiting tables, I would do that.
Yep, exactly. Nick is with us in Salt Lake City. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
So I just had a quick question for you guys. So we have an opportunity, me and my wife, to buy a house. But the problem is that it's a $1 million house, but it has two rental properties inside the house that would bring in around $5,000 a month. And so the mortgage would only be around $4,000 a month, and we could make potentially around $5,000. Do you think that would be a smart decision to do, to buy that house?
Not if you're dependent on the rent to pay the bill.
Okay.
Let me tell you what, I don't know where you were in the last 3 years, but in some areas, rent, you couldn't evict someone for not paying for 6 months because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
During which time you would have been foreclosed on, sir.
Yeah. So the thing is, though, is that
you drove right past that and didn't hear a dadgum thing I said.
I did, but I'm just curious because we feel pressured to do it from certain people, but we're kind of hesitant. The thing is, though, is that it's not like a typical rental at Airbnbs, and they have a 3-year
that's even worse.
3-year track history where they're bringing them.
That's even worse because now we've got cities passing laws not allowing Airbnb because they're in violation of zoning.
Okay.
Why were you hesitant? You just nailed the whole thing. You're feeling pressure from some people that you and your wife respect big time. They have a lot of influence over you, and yet you're hesitant. What are you hesitant about?
Just hesitant because it seems like a good opportunity, but also don't know if we can make it work.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more risk here than the people pressuring you have any concept of.
That's right.
They don't know what the flip they're talking about. So, no, I'm not going to tell you to do this deal based on this. I think you're going to get yourself in trouble. And on top of that, you're living in a house with other people. Ugh. Kind of defeats the purpose, man. If I wanted to live in a hotel, I'd buy a hotel. Ugh. No, thank you. All in the name of I can make a buck. All in the name of all real estate's a good investment. All real estate's not a good investment. Real estate is a good investment. All education is not a good investment. Education is a good investment. But there are stupid forms of real estate and stupid forms of education. I mean, you can get a degree in German polka history or medieval left-handed puppetry, but that doesn't mean you're going to end up being anything but a barista. And that's stupid education. And when you buy real estate leveraged up to your eyeballs and you say, well, the renters are going to pay the rent, that's stupid. Because I've had renters for 30 years. Let me just tell you, some of them don't pay sometimes. Mm-hmm. They go in Chapter 13 bankruptcy. There's a pandemic moratorium on evictions, and you're sitting on them. And, it had nothing to do with the pandemic. They just chose to not pay because the government told them they could. And then when you do finally get them out, can you tell I'm bitter?
Well, you got to beware of the influence trap. What you just heard, folks, happens to all of us at some point in our lives if we're not careful. And people that we respect and love dearly.
That are stupid.
Yes, but yet they tell us it's a good idea. And something in our guts, this young man, he said, we're hesitant about it. He didn't feel right about it, but the influence of people who have no idea what they're talking about makes him think, well, gee whiz, they said it's a good idea. Maybe I should consider it. Thankfully, he called the show today.
Yeah, read some articles about what's happening to Airbnb politically in a whole bunch of markets. They're getting their face smacked, man, and their hands and everything else smacked. And so you can read, you build your whole pro forma based on Airbnb performance. You can really get yourself in a crack, dude. Don't do it. Don't do it. This is the Ramsey Show.
Hey, folks, Ken Coleman here. Did you know The Ramsey Show is one of the most popular podcasts in the world? Get your daily dose of advice on life and money. Check out all of our shows from the Ramsey Network wherever you listen to podcasts. If
you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.